guest today is Wolfgang Gerlich. Wolfgang, how are you?
Real good. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Thanks for being on here. You're doing a talk today at Self Conference on what?
Absolutely. So my talk is SDL in hostile environments. So SDL is the secure development lifecycle.
Okay, that's like an application development lifecycle?
Application development lifecycle, absolutely. So how do we integrate security concepts and have security outputs from the development lifecycle in each stage in the development lifecycle? Everything from gathering requirements to designing to building code to testing code to finally releasing code.
Okay. So that's talked about a lot in the development world.
Mm-hmm.
We're designing our requirements for the software we're going to write. We're going to actually build the software. Then we're going to test the software, and then we're going to deploy it. And
absolutely.
Then start over again. How is it different when we change the A to an S?
So what we actually do is, over top of that normal process that we've been following for years and years, and the software development community has gotten very robust at, we layer on specific security tasks. So for example, in the design phase, we may say, for these features have specific risks of being misused by attacker personas. We'll actually put in some requirements in the design phase to make sure that we've got the protection mechanisms in place. And then later on, for example, in the QA, we would then go back and test to make sure those requirements are met and that indeed it's safe.
Okay, so it's just thinking about security during your application lifecycle management, or is it more than that?
I think that's the main thing, A, starting to think about it, and B, having specific tangible tasks in each step.
Okay. This is actually an official thing, though. SDL is a Microsoft guidance.
Correct.
It comes from Microsoft.
Absolutely. So Microsoft has put a lot of time in this, put a lot of effort in this, and they've got websites, they got white papers, they got tools, they got free videos and everything you can imagine. So previously, in my last job, when I was a DevOps manager and I wanted to figure out, hey, how am I going to secure not only my ops side, but my dev side, I went and pulled down all this information and started integrating into my processes.
Okay. So when we talk about the information that you're getting, it's not just a matter of you need to have some requirements around security during this phase. Are there recommendations as to what kind of
absolutely
requirements you should be implementing?
Yeah, and it all depends on what feature you're making, right?
Okay.
So something as simple as a shopping cart and we give a credit card to, we can do a threat model and say, how would someone misuse that? Maybe they tried to pretend to be someone else.
Okay.
Maybe they tried to fake the payment history.
Okay.
There's a very defined threat modeling process called STRIDE, which looks at every single feature you design and figure out how could that feature be misused,
okay. And
how could we implement a requirement to prevent or mitigate that misuse.
Okay, so that's what you're using for guidance. And then the requirements are driving the development phase.
Absolutely.
All right. Are people still using Waterfall?
Well, so that's the other thing, right? So SDL is and Microsoft's model is based very heavily on Waterfall.
Okay.
Which, in my world, worked well for very long projects. Great.
Mm-hmm.
But as you and I know, a lot of the times it's a couple-week sprint, right? We're trying to get some work done very quickly.
Yep.
And
Agile shops there, yes.
Right. And so the same basic concepts apply. If we've got a story, let's step back from that story and consider not only how would the persona we're designing that story for use it, but how would the malicious person misuse it? So we can add these same basic steps in a lighter touch, in a faster iteration, on an Agile sprint.
Okay. I'm going to guess that you were doing all this stuff before you discovered SDL. Is that a fair statement?
In an ad hoc fashion. This really gelled a lot of it for me.
That's my question. What was the advantage of formalizing it as a software development lifecycle?
Well, it's like anything else with a maturity model, right? It's one thing to go, oh, yeah, I'm going to secure my code.
Okay.
But as you put more developers on it, as you produce more code, as you're doing things, it's very easy for that to slip. It's very easy for, Joe does a great job securing his code because he really knows how to put controls in, and Jane maybe doesn't, and Jim, oh my God, don't give him anything. You start to get uneven. But what I really liked about Microsoft's formal process and guidance was allowed me to elevate that maturity level and make it a consistent result.
So your team is a team of developers, or are you infrastructure guys, or are you just security, cross-domain security people? What's the team that you're leading?
Well, can I answer that in three ways?
Yes.
My history came from a DevOps team, where I was a combined developer and systems operations role,
okay.
Which is where I really dug my teeth into SDL.
Hmm.
Today, I'm vice president of consulting for a company where we do SDL advisory services as well as penetration testing and all the typical ethical hacker techniques.
Kind of white hat sort of things?
White hack, 100%.
Okay.
The story, however, what I really like about the story, we've been talking about the SDL part.
Mm-hmm.
The in the hostile environment part is to me the interesting thing. This story is a community-driven project we did with a group of people between Detroit and Chicago, open source, for two different conferences, specifically building an application for hackers, knowing that this was a hostile environment. They had the means, the motive, and the opportunity to attack us.
Hmm.
And so what I'm using today is that case study of 24 weeks of development and what we did right and what we did wrong. Because the flip side is, after we developed it, we spent 24 weeks, right? I'm a DevOps manager. I'm a security guy. I got hackers on my team. And after 24 weeks, we put it live. And you know what happened?
You got hacked.
24 hours later, we were hacked.
Yeah.
24 hours.
Yep.
And it was crazy. So we did a postmortem. And out of that postmortem, I was like, you know, we really should tell more people the story. Because so often, if you're in a business, like my clients, if they get hacked, I can't tell you that, right? I'm on the non-disclosure.
Right.
When I was a security officer and I got hacked, I definitely wouldn't tell you that.
Yeah.
Oh, everything's fine. So this, in essence, this hostile environment situation creates a perfect story where I can share these lessons learned in a free and open way without having to worry about any non-disclosure.
Okay. I would add to that, actually, that a lot of people, they're hacked and they have no idea that they're hacked.
Ah,
that's
yes.
That's not uncommon.
Well, that's the final phase in the formal Microsoft SDL, which isn't necessarily a development phase, which is response. So not only in SDL do you build your code so it's ready to ship over to your operations folks, right? We build code, someone else supports it.
Okay.
You also build code so that you can ship it to your security folks so they can be ready and know what to look for and how to respond when there is a breach.
Okay.
And have the data to know when there's a breach.
Okay. Is part of the testing of the software, putting it in production and doing this sort of white hat attacks?
Absolutely. Those would be in later phases as part of UAT.
User acceptance testing, sure. Okay. And then I guess I never did hear quite the answer. The guys that are on your team, are you developers? Are you infrastructure guys? Or do you even think of yourselves that way?
So
does that line exist still?
I don't think it exists still.
Okay.
I don't. So in the ethical hacker community, in my company specifically, we need to know how to do IT ops. And we need to know how operations people think so that we can circumvent those controls.
Okay.
We need to know how to write code at a very level, not to the level you do it, but at least to the level that I can communicate.
I used to do it.
Okay. Fair enough. You know what I'm talking about. We need to be able to speak the same language.
Okay.
And know where the skeletons are buried.
Okay.
I'll give you a perfect example. You mentioned Agile. You're familiar with Scrum, right? So Scrum and the burn down charts, right? One of the interesting things that some of our people do on an SDL is we'll look at, all right, when do we have a whole lot of work and then suddenly dropped? Because that drop point where you had a whole bunch of work in the backlog but suddenly you caught up, there's a lot of people who are tired. There's a lot of people working hard. There might have been a few corners cut. That's where the skeleton's buried. And 9 times out of 10, those are the features we actually attack.
Oh, I see. The features that were implemented just before people went on vacation.
Exactly. Just before they went on vacation. Or the boss is like, you know, I don't care. Work 24 hours, get this done. Those types of things.
Okay.
So it's understanding both worlds.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess we had this conversation earlier that I used to think of that those IT developers in buckets of, you know, here's your infrastructure guys, here's your developer guys, here's your security guys. And it didn't take me long to figure out that that's just not a good way of thinking of things, because I, as a developer, needed to empower myself to at least understand security well enough to implement some basic features, to test those basic features, and when I hit a wall, at least to ask the right questions of these other teams that were helping to support me.
Absolutely. And today, the DevOps movement has helped a lot with that, I think.
Yeah, that term didn't exist back when I made that discovery. At least I had never heard it.
It's really helped break down those barriers.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is you mentioned silos. We're no longer in silos, right?
Right.
If you and I are working together, I need to communicate to you what I'm seeing, and you need to communicate to me how you're thinking about it, and that's the only way we can work together.
Right.
And the specialization that we started going towards in the late 90s and early aughts really robbed us of a lot of that synergy, I think.
Hmm. Okay, fair enough. It also opened up a lot of threats, because that's when, of course, the internet revolution came about, and everybody, internet access became free, if cheap, if not free.
Absolutely.
Just about everybody.
So one of the things I talk about in my talk.
There's a lot more threats now.
There's a lot more threats. And we sort of start separating things mentally. And one of the things I mentioned in my talk is we spent all this time securing the code, and we never looked at the Linux OS. So one of the vulnerabilities was actually on the OS level. And just because we're like, oh, we're writing code and we're putting it in the cloud and everything's great, we never stepped back and went, all right, big picture, where are we going to get attacked and what is everything that's delivering?
Interesting. Have we not covered something that we should have?
Have we not covered something that we should have?
On SDL in particular.
In SDL in particular, one of the things that I'm most excited about is threat modeling.
Okay.
I really like threat modeling because...
Well, define threat modeling first.
Absolutely. With threat modeling, it's very similar to developing your persona and your story. But instead of developing a persona and a story and then building the features and then testing, you say, okay, an attacker is going to want to do these sort of things. And when they do these sort of things, they're going to move through my code or through my system in these ways. And here's at the points where I can detect them, and here's the points where I can prevent them.
Okay.
And then from that, figure out where we build our controls, either in code or in our systems.
Right.
And what's fascinating about that, all right, give me a typical code base that you would work on.
A code base?
Yeah, like it's like 1,000 lines, 100,000 lines.
Oh, I don't know, 100,000 lines.
All right, so 100,000 lines. So if I ask you, hey, do me a favor, secure that 100,000 lines. How do you even begin to bite that off?
I would just sprinkle a little HTTPS on top of it.
And it's done. It's golden.
And call it done.
It's secure, and and no one can read it.
Might even throw a party.
Absolutely. We celebrate our success afterwards. By doing threat modeling, we can say, here's the three or four use cases an attacker would use against us.
Okay.
And now, instead of looking at 100,000 lines of code, maybe I'm looking at three different things that need to be implemented at key areas in that code base.
Okay.
So by starting at threat modeling and then working down, our downstream activities are much more focused and targeted, and we're not trying to secure everything. We're trying to secure where the bad guys are actually hitting us.
Interesting. Okay. Hackers don't really care how many lines of code there are. They don't care about even what platform it's on. They don't really care about the code at all. They just care about the target points.
They care about the target points, and they care about winning.
Are you writing about this and speaking about this in places where people could hear or read you?
I do maintain a blog at www.jdubgorlick.com,
okay,
which is woefully neglected at the moment. And I have been speaking a lot about this talk. I really like this story, again, because it's an open, honest way that I can be, for lack of a better word, as a security guy, you can be a little bit vulnerable and say, look, here's my heart. Stomp on it. We lost.
Right.
Let me share with you what we did wrong so as a community we cannot make these mistakes.
Yeah, I think we're sharing a lot of the pain across the community.
Exactly.
What's what talks do you have coming up?
So actually, this is probably the last time in a while I'm going to give this talk. I gave it at Confu. I was out at Star Trek. I don't have a next one for this one. The next conference I'm going to be at is Converge Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is in July, and at Converge, I'm going to be focusing specifically on the threat modeling aspect.
Okay. Wolfgang, thanks so much.
Thank you. So secure your technology, secure your friends, protect everyone, and win. Thanks for joining us. This has been fun.